Thank you, Pastor Kini. Tupigie makofi. Asante sana. Now to the sermon. The liberating power of redemption, Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 13. I have divided it into three parts. Buys us back by the blood, that is the liberating power of redemption. Lifts us up into a new identity and sends us out with divine purpose. Going to the first point, buys us back by the blood. That is the status we achieve when we are bought back by the blood, and this is the blood of Jesus, is a status purchased. And so today, a declaration we can very ably make is that I am purchased, and especially purchased by the blood of Jesus. And the decree and declaration I make in the legal realms of the spiritual is that what the blood has purchased for you, the enemy must release immediately. I want to repeat that. What the blood has purchased for you by these proclamations, declarations, and decrees from this sermon, the enemy must release immediately. And so there's a sense of urgency because there are so many things in the storehouse of God, and you really, really cannot even imagine, because the Bible says, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, God has put in store for those who love him. And so there is so much beyond imagination, beyond what vision, dreaming, and thinking can even get to. There's so much more, and sometimes we live in the realm of the little when God has already spoken and he has said, you and I should live in the realm of the much. And therefore, the death of Jesus Christ was serious business. And how we know he died is because he shed his blood. He went to the cross and there nails were put in his hands and feet. And later, of course, he died and was buried. But at that cross, he released something very, very important for our liberation. And that is the blood. Yesterday, during the anointing service, when Reverend Ambrose was sharing the keys in terms of us appropriating the benefits of the anointing, one of the keys he mentioned was the blood of Jesus. And I remind us today that the blood of Jesus means that your blessing has been purchased, your salvation has been purchased, your healing has been purchased, your restoration has been purchased. And therefore, from a premise of faith, therefore, we appropriate by declarations. I know next month we shall be dealing with the liberating power of confession, and we shall delve into that a little more. But appropriate now by faith, declaration, because it's not by works. It's not what you do. No, it's not the gymnastics or the gimmicks. It's all done. It's all finished. And the blood simply means it is purchased, it is ready. It is just delivery. And so when we declare and proclaim healing, for example, and we say, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, then indeed, in the blood is already that investment. And in the blood is stored everything that you ever will need. And so in Ephesians 2 verse 13, the Apostle Paul, somebody who understands this very well, says, I read it again, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Wherever the blood of Christ is involved, there is liberating movement from something to something. And when you read from verse 1 all the way coming back down to verse 13, it is discussing how far away they were. They were lost in sin. And they were lost in idolatry. They followed the ways of this world. The ruler of the kingdom of the air in verse 1. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And they were all there gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And they were by nature deserving wrath. Then when you come down to this verse, in that whole story, there is a divine disruption, and it is a redemptive disruption. And that is why the scripture starts saying, but now, I declare this is a but now moment. Hallelujah. But now in Christ Jesus, because things are going to change. But now in Christ Jesus, who was once, those of you who were once far away have now been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Redemption begins with purchase. We were in the slave market, but because of the blood and because of the payment and purchase that has come through the blood of Jesus, then we were moved from the slave market to the market of the free. And now John 8 verse 36 says, whoever the Son of God says free is, free indeed. Today you can say, I am free indeed, on the basis of scripture and because of the blood of Jesus. You can truly say, I am free indeed. Free from what? Free from sin, free from guilt, free from condemnation, free from bondage, free from my past. I am free. It is possible for you and me to say, I am free. You know, the tag that was there when you are in the slave market was that this is a market for slaves. But suddenly the blood of Jesus was released, and that was the payment needed for the purchase of this slave out of the slave market. And that purchase value is more than silver. It is more than gold. When you read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19, you will understand how expensive this blood is. It is more than anything you can ever pay. And so if you enter the supermarket, and in that supermarket, there are all kinds of goods that you can actually pick. I want you to know, in the supermarket of God, everything is paid for. Salvation is paid for. Restoration is paid for. Your peace is paid for. Your deliverance is paid for. And therefore, with the tag of the price of those things, the blood of Jesus is able to completely sort anything that you need. And you can go with your basket or with your trolley. It's all paid for. And as you're going around, you pick salvation, you pick restoration, you pick healing. I don't know what you're picking today in the supermarket of God. And all because the blood speaks and it says it's been all paid for. I want you to know that your liberty, redemption, is already purchased. And as we go forward, don't struggle. It's already done. Like I said, it's by faith. All you need to do is ask for it and then declare it. So when you go out, go with authority. Know the scripture. Begin to declare. Because everything promised in the scripture has already been paid for. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you are redeemed from the empty way life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. So silver and gold cannot match the purchase value of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the most expensive thing. And yet God did not hold it back. From the life of his son, blood was actually shed. And this blood was shed for your healing, for your redemption, and also for your salvation. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 14, you will see the Passover, and you will see the impact of the blood. But the blood then was not the blood of Jesus. There is a difference between the blood of goats and bulls and animals and the blood of Jesus. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. I declare you are all covered by the blood of Jesus. And for that reason, no destructive plague will get you in February and March and May and all the way to the end of this year, 2026. Today, I release that cover as we think about redemption. God has pulled you from the slave market, and he has brought you to the market of the free. And by this blood, you have been covered. And the Passover in the Old Testament happened because the sign was the mark. And they were asked to anoint their doors up here on the side three times. It was up and the sides. Like in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And every plague coming around, you know, when it would notice the blood, it would not enter that place. We encourage people in this church to anoint by faith, even the gates of their homes. Yesterday we had a powerful anointing service after 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we encourage people, not that the strength and power, like Reverend Ambrose said yesterday, lies in the blood, but in the oil, but in the faith that we carry, so that it becomes a mark that covers that place. And anytime some of these troubling things come around, they notice this place is marked and they cannot enter there. Hallelujah. And so this blood that was purchased was very precious. The blood of goats and bulls was a shadow pointing to the final blood, the precious blood. The blood of goats and bulls was a temporal activity for temporal redemption. Like that time, because Pharaoh was raging, and because his armies were coming to destroy the Jews or the Israelites, you know, they were given that plan. Put blood on your doors, and indeed it worked. The blood from animals. But there is blood that actually marks you for eternity. That blood was temporal, but the blood of Jesus was for eternity. There are people today, Pastor Ambrose, who are still going back to the days of old. And they are even sacrificing animals. And they are still sprinkling the blood that was sprinkled long time ago. I want to say to you, that is useless. That is ineffective. That is not going to help you. Today by this altar, I offer you a better blood. I offer you a better sacrifice, and I offer you redemption that is eternal, and it is liberating. Its power is enough to be able to free you from anything, and this is the blood of Jesus. I said in the first service, I was invited to go up Othero and down through Ilri, down near the river there. There is an altar that has been there for some, I didn't know, but I was invited by one of the families here. And to go and see. And I got there. It's a whole area, some land space between trees, kind of cleared, and with all kinds of seats. And they have a plan or a pattern of the way they do their rituals. And so there is a group of elders who come there often. And when they get there, they slaughter animals. They speak incantations and spells. All these words they speak. And then they sprinkle the blood all over. I want to say here openly from this altar and pulpit, as we speak to the nations right now, that that is foolishness. That is foolishness. We cannot go back where the Lord has already removed us from. We are purchased from the slave market, and all the rituals of the slave market, all the idols of the slave market, all the sin of the slave market, and everything that happens in the slave market, the blood of Jesus has paid the price. And therefore, the slave can go free. The slave master cannot hold the slave another second because the purchase price is paid. And it is so precious, so precious. It is so expensive so that no slave can be left inside there. And therefore, my friend, don't stay in the slave market. God has already released you and freed you. In Galatians chapter 4, if you give me that on the screen, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 7. Today we sang about the inheritance, amerejesha, the restoration, the inheritance, amanietu, the different things. There is an inheritance. Verse 4, but when the set time has fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now let's read verse 7 together. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God made you also an heir. I want to read us to read it again and make it personal. Just talk about yourself. Let's read it as first person. So I am no longer a slave, but God's child. And since I am his child, God has made me also an heir. Heir. Yes. It's a hard word to actually pronounce. And this is the reality. And only the blood of Jesus is able to move us from the slave market into the slave of the free. There are so many things to enjoy. Into the markets, rather, market of the free. There's so much to enjoy on the market of the free, but a lot of people are still on this side living on less. Yet God is saying on this side, come over. You shall see my hand. You shall see my goodness. You shall see my provision. And we live in the lie zone, deceived of the devil. Yet God is saying on the other side, I have everything that you need. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. No good thing will he withhold from those who love him. Psalm 37:4, I'll grant you the desire of your heart. Now you cross from here to here and you begin to see something new and something fresh beginning to happen because of the blood of Jesus. I want to say the doors are open. The gate is open. The storehouses of God are actually ready and open. The purchase is done, awaiting earth's decree and earth's prayer. We talked about it yesterday during the anointing service. What are you declaring? What are you decreeing? Some people are inviting trouble by decreeing the wrong things. We need to take scripture. What God has said and what God has promised, it is sealed by the blood. And the blood of Jesus therefore makes sure that actually it is realized. And so today I say once again that the blood of Jesus has purchased a lot for you. And therefore this pastor is saying enemy release through February to December into the coming years. Release what belongs to the people of God. How many believe with me he's releasing right now? Receive. It's your portion in the name of Jesus. Number two, lift us up into a new identity. The word is elevated. Not only purchased, but also elevated. The liberating power of redemption is elevating. And I remind us about the resurrection power. Jesus was not left in the grave because there was power available. That same power that was available to raise Jesus from the dead is actually available today. And it is the power that brings about transformation. Somebody who is an alcoholic can become a serious servant of God. In the first service, I shared about a demoniac in Mark chapter 5 from verse 13, if you give me on the screen, who was a demoniac, carried a tag, demoniac, but something happened when Jesus came around. His life was changed. Go back to verse 11. Just go back to verse 11. We start there. Verse 11. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons, now that had come from this demoniac, begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. They had about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. Verse 15. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man. Hallelujah. They saw the man doing what? Who had been possessed doing what? Sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon, possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Then we go on to verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been a demon possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but he said, go home to your own people, tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had had mercy on you. The man went away and began to tell in 10 cities, ten towns, in the Decapolis, from one town to another town to another town, 10 of them, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. I want to say the liberating power of redemption is elevating. It is able to lift you from the pit where you are and change your identity to the demon-possessed person to an evangelist. And this guy was known all over, but all of a sudden there was a shift. I am speaking and declaring that there will be such a radical shift because of this liberating power of redemption, that they will not even recognize you. The change will be so much, and the banner and the stigma that was over your life will completely be cleared, and suddenly you will be called by a new name. You know, there was a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. She suffered hemorrhage, but she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And all of a sudden, the woman who was sick becomes the woman who is well. The woman who could not dance, like we saw the team dancing here, and I was inspired to dance. You know, who couldn't dance? Suddenly, she was dancing like actually the young lady who was here, who was very dynamic. And I thank God for young people. Pastor Regan, when I was there, I was trying to do her moves. Then I realized maybe my time has passed for that. I'm hard. Dancing like David, somebody who could not dance, is actually dancing. Because the liberating power of redemption is able to redeem from the deepest, from the lowest, from the farthest, like we are reading from the scriptures, and actually translate you all the way up, you know, to a position and a place that you never and nobody ever thought before. And I declare that is about you, is about me, is about us. You are following online. It's also about you. This liberating power is elevating you. You know, in the book of Isaiah 62, verse 1 to 4, talking about a new identity. Isaiah 62, verse 1 to 4. The Bible says the following. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her vindication, and God will not rest until this work of redemption is complete. Till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name, hallelujah, that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hands. Is somebody receiving this? You'll be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married as a young man marries a young woman. So will your builder marry you. Why don't you give a hand to the Lord? Yes, today we've had a service inspired by marriage. And Pastor, you are sharing a lot about getting married. And I say God is able to change status from single to married. I mean, he's able to shift our identity from one space to another. And it doesn't matter what they call you today. I want to say tomorrow a new name is being put on your life. There's a guy called Jacob. The name meant supplanter or a con man. And he walked with it for a long time. But you know what? Genesis 32 verse 26. He meets this man and they wrestle until dawn. Then he realized the secret of breakthrough is being carried by this particular man. I say, I won't let you go until you bless me. And you know what? Suddenly, he's given a new name. He's actually blessed. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's what? He's a new creation. The old is gone. And behold, the new has come. This liberating power of redemption lifts us up into a new identity. And I see God lifting somebody from ashes. Yesterday we talked about it. And placing a crown of beauty on you. The ashes are gone. I declare right now, those ashes in your life, they are gone by this power in the name of Jesus. And there's a crown of beauty coming on you. I see it on your heads right now. A crown of beauty. I see it all over this congregation. I see it. I see it. I see it. And the ones who are in the pavilion and following online, there is a crown of beauty. I say it also by faith. But also not just a crown of beauty. A garment of praise. From sadness and sorrow to a garment of praise. You are wearing. So you have a crown of beauty. And then God has dressed you today with a whole garment covering the whole of you. A garment of praise. And not only that, he has put oil of gladness. To a lot of oil. You know, a lot of oil until you start shining. And I see people shining in this sanctuary. That's a work of the Lord. God has done it. He's a beautifier. And he's able to change your identity and give you a new name. Today, as you live here, let me say this. The past is gone. January is finished. Hallelujah. This is February. God is doing a new work. The whole of this month, you're going to see the hand of God lift us up into a new identity. And so the things that defined your life, I have listed 7 D's. I mentioned some of them yesterday. 7 of them. They describe your life. Despair, defeat, decease, debt, discouragement, death, delay. I repeat, 7 D's. Despair, defeat, decease, debt, discouragement, death, and delay. By the power of redemption, I declare them buried from your life and washed from your life forever, never to return, in the name of Jesus. Give a big hand clap to the Lord if you believe that. And so you have been raised, Ephesians 2 verse 6, now to sit together with Christ in the heavenly realms. And that is our position, that is our identity. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9 and 10, there are several verses, statements there of identity, our new identity. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and you can use this regarding yourself. And you list them. I'm a chosen person, I'm a royal priest, I'm part of a holy nation, I am God's special possession, you know, that I may declare the praises of him who called us or me out of darkness into his wonderful light. I want us to read verse 10 together. Once you are not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We shall go back to verse 10. Let it make it first person. Verse 10. Once I was not a person, but now I am a person of God. Once I had not received mercy, but now I have received mercy. God deserves a big hand clap. He has done it. He has done it. David had an army of defeated, discouraged, debt-ridden, desperate, you know, people suffering delays. He had a group of people. 1 Samuel 22 verse 1 and 2. 1 Samuel 22 verse 1 and 2. And this group of people, they came to David. God did an amazing work changing their identity and actually lifting them up from where they are. That is 1 Samuel chapter 22. Let me have it on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 1 and 2. And later, this group of people became a major army and they defeated the Philistines. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who are in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. And he became what? Their commander. There were about 400 men with him. Can you imagine surrounded by people of that nature? But let me say this. When we come around Jesus, who is our today's Joshua, around our Lord Jesus, he's able to change our identity. And he's able to lift us from the ashes, like I said, and make us, and made us somebody. You and I are who we are because the Lord is doing a work, and that work is special. I want to say you are getting better by the day. Hallelujah. You are getting better by the day, and that is unstoppable. Finally, sends us out with divine purpose. Purchased, elevated, but also commissioned. The investment of God in our lives is for a reason. And God does all that he does in our lives so that we are redeemed and we can lead others into redemption. And therefore, this liberating power of redemption grants you an assignment. The fact that just God does what he does in your life means that you need to do something for somebody else. In Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 10, remember what I read? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are his God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So this redemptive work is for a reason, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I want to say there is a lot of work to be done. And I shared the other Sunday about God looking for laborers. And we need to understand our giftings schedule, and how it aligns to the assignment. God is able. God makes us able. We make others able. And so because God is able, he makes us able, I'll make somebody able. And that is the nature of the redemptive work. The full cycle of redemption is not just getting saved. It is not just getting a new identity. It is rising to the level of service. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, I believe verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And let us pray that God will enable us. And we had the anointing yesterday. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. That God will enable us in our own lifetime to leave a legacy. That God will enable us to do something that can be remembered. That God will enable us to reach somebody else, because God has already also touched us. I shared earlier the story of the demoniac. Demons were removed from his life. How do you know that he was properly redeemed? His service. He showed me somebody serving, and I'll show you somebody who has gone the full cycle of redemption. Because then you appreciate what God has done for you. And when you think about divine purpose, prayer that opens the gates for you to serve all over the world. And your time is now, and you can pray that prayer, and God hears that prayer. God can expand your borders. Jabez lived in a very constrained space, and it can be so routine. It can be so boring. Just operating within a little circle here, you get to know even where the speed bumps are. You get to know where the corners are. You get to know even where the dustbins are. I mean, operating in a very, very small space. Let me say this. God's plan and desire is that we reach far and wide. And Jabez got tired with that schedule of his life. It was like pain. I mean, it's even painful. And he prayed a prayer. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. He prayed a prayer that, oh God, you would bless me indeed. That, oh God, you would expand my territory. You know? That, oh God, you keep your hand on me and then keep me from evil. This version says, let me read it. Go back. Just go back. I read from here. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out. When you cry out, look up. Don't look at people. There is no help. Our help comes from this side. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted him his request. God is waiting right now to grant this kind of request. We must become influential. We must have greater impact. And this power of redemption is not only to save us, it is to release us. It is to commission us. It is such a power, it gives us wings. We are free. You know, John 8:36 says, whoever the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Wings of power. Instead of just being down here, then these wings take you all over the world. And when you pray this prayer, where you say, God, give me more territory, God does it. Whether it's in your business sphere, God can actually grow that business. You begin to franchise, actually, your logo, your colors, your mantra, your ethos, and everything that is the package. Suddenly others begin to draw a name, a uniqueness out of that. It's so inviting. It's so magnetic. And others now start coming to you and say, can I franchise? Can I actually use your name and your logo and your statements and everything? And I go and start a similar business somewhere else. Because that is what God wants us. There is a purpose. And if you have only one stall, God wants you to have two, wants you to have five, wants you to have 10. God wants you to organize them nicely so that they look nice and they look appealing. And then it starts getting wings, liberation. And this thing goes all over the world. Whether it's business or career or work that you do or your own family, there is provision for growth in this liberating power of redemption. And so this redemption is about something small becoming big. It's about something small becoming influential. It is becoming about something that is one, becoming three, becoming five, becoming 10, becoming 100, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It's about becoming productive. It's about the issue of purpose. And I believe that God created everyone to multiply, everyone to reach the farthest, everyone to make a difference. And that is what we are believing in this month, the liberating power of redemption. And this power shall manifest in individuals as the Lord's power raises them from graves, resurrection power lifts them into positions of greatness, and then influence begins to grow around. And so this blood purchased me when I was a sinner from the slave market of sin, gave me a new identity. I am now Simon, a saint, a child of God. But not just that, this same redemption power actually put me in a place and a platform of service. I have just come back from India, and I was in Ahmedabad. That was my base. And a totally different world, different culture, different languages, and different foods. But even there, the Lord and his power made me effective. Pastor Ambrose, I shared in the first service how some Hindu gentleman, the very first day when I had the first meeting, and it was very early in the morning, somehow identified me. Maybe because I was the only black, probably, I don't know. But identified me, and he came to me after I had done a prayer. You know, I prayed a prayer in that particular place. And this guy, he identified me, and he said, "Do you want me to pray for his business?" I didn't get enough time that evening later to be able to do that. But I realized the next day he followed, and this guy was persistent. And he sat with me, and then he shared a little more about himself, and I prayed with him. Do you know, then another day, he brought his wife, a Hindu guy, brought his wife and brought the children. And we took a picture. And right there, I said, "My God, if you brought me to India for just this one, my life shall multiply in this one." Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, the redeemed are redeemers. And I said, while I'm here and I've experienced this power that has set me free, positioned me, now I'm in the operation of redeeming others, I will share. And I thank God for the prayers I prayed for that Hindu family. And also there were others from Hindu background who also connected through those ones. And somehow I was able to reach quite a number. And I left that assignment with the pastors in Ahmedabad, the Church of North India. And by the way, Pastor Ambrose, I invited the bishop. They received me very well in India, the pastors and bishop. Either our revival season, a very dynamic guy. I told him, "Come over. I've been in your territory. I've ministered here. I want you to come all the way to Africa." And I believe that bishop, and I know some of them are following right now, is going to come right here. Let me say, there is an opportunity for you in the farthest corners of the world. Don't just stay here. Receive an anointing right now to go to the ends of the earth. When Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age." He meant it. He meant it. And that's what he expects for every child in his kingdom, that we would go out and multiply. And so while I was in Ahmedabad and I was praying and God was bringing these people, suddenly it was time for the first time to really crisscross the countryside. And I took off from Ahmedabad through Baroda, through Por. I went all the way to the town of Mahatma Gandhi. It is called Navsari. And that is where he started the salt movement. And I was 280 kilometers from my first station. And while I was in that town, it was kind of hot and everything. I said, "Lord, you must lead me to somebody." And somehow, maybe my color, God can use anything. There was a boy who started following me, and he would touch me. And of course, at first it was a little irritating. But this boy persisted. And then I talked to him, and then he went and called his parents, and we started talking, and we prayed. This boy brought other boys, and like a magnet, I was surrounded by boys just around me. Isaiah 60 verse 3 says, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the rising of your dawn." You become a magnet. That is what God wants. Parklands Baptist Church is a light to the nations. It's a magnet to the nations. And Pastor Ambrose, I decree with you and declare that this year we shall see internationals showing up. And the cross-section looking here, we shall see people from the U.S. I think I'm seeing some in the U.S. That's right. Yeah. We shall see. You look around and you see people from the U.S., from Canada, from South America, from Asia, you know, Japanese, saying krakrapu in this congregation. Hallelujah. I see a time when we shall have language translations. And we shall speak from here, translated immediately in like 30 different languages. People are actually sitting in different places here. And that is a sign of fruit. It's a sign of growth. It's a sign of dynamism. It's a sign of what God wants to see. And so redemptive power is enough for every person on planet Earth. And redemptive power is liberating and can draw people from their holes, whether religious holes, yeah, or sin, or whatever it is, and can actually bring them to congregate like we are. And therefore, our mission and our purpose is very, very clear. And this redemptive, liberating power, therefore, sends us out. It's a commissioning power and releases us to serve the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, "That which the Lord laid his hand on me for, I must grasp it." Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. And that was his determination. Are you committed towards achieving what God laid his hand on you for? Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 up to verse 14. Let me just read it as I come to a close. "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind," because some of that stops us from going forward, "and straining toward what is ahead." Verse 14 is important. "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." People have always asked, what has kept Pastor Ambrose and myself going? As we come to the Jubilee, this year we shall be celebrating 50 years of the life of this church. And we have been there. Pastor Ambrose, I think it will be 50. Yes. And me, apo karibu, nimekaribia. So if you add my years and Pastor Ambrose's years, itafika 90 uko. 90 years of service. And some people have asked, what has kept you going? In fact, there's a guy who came and he was doing a PhD. He said, "I would like to study this relationship and this staying power. What is it?" But I know at the end of the day, they'll find it's the Holy Spirit. It's because we understand our purpose. We understand our mission. And we also understand the one who rewards. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. And so we understand it all too well. And so every time we stand on this pulpit and burn our candle for the glory of God, we know that it counts in eternity. It is never in vain. And somebody listening somewhere here or around the world, something is happening in their lives. So God sends us out with a divine purpose, and we are called to fulfill it. Matthew 4:19, Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, "Come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men." He tells us, come, not just for come's sake, to come and sit down, to come and do what? So he says, come, then the next thing, because somebody can come, and Jesus starts moving and they are not following, so it is come, then follow me, keep your eyes on him. But as we follow, then he makes us something. And he says, "I will make you fishers of men." Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. This text says, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll send you out to fish for people." And I like what they did. At once they left their nets and followed him. So today, my brothers and sisters, the liberating power of redemption is real. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 13 brings it out very clearly. Paul begins to talk about people who are sinners, but because of this power and by grace through faith, salvation, they appropriated it. And by appropriating salvation, they are removed from the law into the family of God. And that was not their doing, it was the work of God. And the blood of Jesus is right central in that particular work. And so the liberating power of redemption buys us back by the blood that is purchased, lifts us up into a new identity, elevation, and sends us out with divine purpose. Today, I declare, is somebody's day to come from the seven D's I just mentioned, namely despair, defeat, disease, death, discouragement, death, delay, those seven D's. And if there are more, even for those to come from those ones, because as I'm praying now, I am praying that this liberating power of redemption reaches out to you, the resurrection power, from wherever you may be and whatever you are struggling with, and actually lifts you up out of it, places you in a position of greatness, but also deploys you to be useful among the nations, not just Kenya, but around the world. Let me say again, get your visas. This year is gonna be amazing. This year is gonna be amazing. Get your visa now. Hallelujah. Get your visa. Get ready, because God is about to lead us into places we have never, ever imagined. And therefore, we shall enter our divine purpose this year as we celebrate the Jubilee. We shall be remembering how far we have come from, but we shall also be rededicating ourselves regarding the future, the mission, and the purpose for which Christ called us. And so I want to lead us in a prayer that lifts us up from the mud of the D's, free from the gates of that prison, and then into this position of greatness and influence. I invite us to stand together as we do this prayer. Jesus sets free, and Jesus is able. He has made provision for your deliverance and liberation. His blood has made that possible. I am going to be praying and trusting God with somebody here that God is lifting them up to the next place. Job said, my Redeemer lives. The Redeemer is here. That is in Job 19 verse 25. My Redeemer is here. Your Redeemer is here. He is here to do business. He did everything that needs to be done through the cross. Your role is faith and belief and declaration. As I pray, turn the place where you are into an altar and refuse to stay, because redemption has come and the Redeemer is here. Refuse to stay where you have been. Like Jabez, refuse. That small thing, just simply refuse. And you say, this is not my portion, it's not my heritage, this is not what was designed for me. I just reject it today. Today is a special day, the 1st of February, you shall remember. I refuse to stay here, and by this power, you know, this power that this preacher is preaching about, liberating power of redemption, I hold on to the hand of Jesus through his blood, and I decree I'm being lifted. I am lifted to the next level. Hallelujah. He's able to lift us from the pits. It doesn't matter which pit that is. Call it debt. Those D's I just read there. Somebody is in debt, and you are right there. The debt is so heavy. It is so big. Even if you are going to pay monthly, you'd have maybe sell everything. And even then, you wouldn't be able to pay it. The debt is bigger than you. But God is able. Pastor Ambrose, I still remember as I say this, some members of our church was in big debt. And we preached the way we preach. And they believed God. God lifted them up. When I went to Australia, I shared the other day. I was in Sydney. Then I flew Adelaide. And then I flew Townsville. And they were paying the flights. Hallelujah. And you know, these guys who are in debt and they were here in this church, they used to live here in Kinoa. In fact, some guys went with guns because they were so angry with them. I think they wanted to kill them because of these debts. They were very scared. I'm talking about a real story. And they just believed they got a visa. Today they're in Australia. They're employing 110 people from 10 nations. That same couple, that same family, they are there. So what we say from this pulpit, Pastor Ambrose and I and the other pastors, it's something we know. It's something we have experienced. Share this faith with us. Believe with us. This power is redemptive. It can pick you from a hole called debt. Even disease. Somebody following online, you have a disease. That is a whole back problem. And your back line or bone. Even the doctors have given up on it. I am straightening it right now in Jesus' name. I'm releasing this redemptive power of healing because it's part of what God has provided through the blood of Jesus Christ. Receive it. As somebody having migraines or even your feet are not operating right, some organs have failed within your body, God is able to fix those things right now in Jesus' name. The whole called disease, you have been using so much money, like the woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, paying doctors all over, a lot of money. But finally touching the hem of the Redeemer, and suddenly she is healed and the flow of blood actually stops. Delay, whatever it is, Today is your day. This is your hour of redemption. He lifts us from the pit. Our God is able. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this year of Jubilee. Thank you for the rest that you are bringing among your people. Thank you for the cancellation of debts that God you are activating among your people as we experience this month, year of Jubilee, going towards the altar in August. My God, as a first fruit of this journey, and as we start this journey right here after the anointing service, Lord, I have declared that all the deeds that may be there that have locked us up within their prison and the tyranny of deeds. And God, they are oppressing us. They have depressed us. They have taken away our peace. The day has come for those prisons to be open, and the day has come for redemption to happen, because our Redeemer is here. He has paid the price. He elevates and he also commissions. There is nothing impossible with you. Right now, you know yourself. You know your situation. You know the deed that has plagued your life, your marriage, your family, and also your career. That deed today, with the anointing that is in this place, in the name of Jesus Christ, is the day that the hand of the Redeemer is actually reaching out and lifting you out of that deed, of that hole. Father, I thank you. I invite you now, Redeemer Lord, to stretch your right hand of Isaiah 41 verse 10 that says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you. I will uphold you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand of victory. My God, I appeal by this petition in the highest courts of heaven, that today, Lord Jesus, Jehovah, stretch your right hand. Somebody needs that hand right now. Our help does not come from the mountains. Our help comes from the Lord. You know what D that is. God is saying, all you need is faith. All you need is declaration. All you need is to reach out with your hand. And therefore, if you can, your right hand could also go up, because the right hand of God is also stretching your direction. My God, you can see the hand that has been lifted toward you. This is a hand saying, Lord, lift me, lift my children, lift my grandchildren, lift generations from me, from the pit wherein we've been. Yet this power of redemption has been raised as a theme this month. And Lord, I want to believe you in this season of Jubilee, that I'm receiving my first fruits of this redemption. This power, liberating power, is in your hand. And I want you to, by faith, believe that that situation that you have been in, the Lord is holding you now by his righteous right hand of victory, and he's actually lifting you, like the psalmist said in Psalm 103, he lifts my life from the pit. He's actually lifting you from that pit. And I decree and declare the anointing is here. The power is here. Redemptive power is here. You are being bought back, redeemed from that situation. It is not your destiny. It is not your portion. You are being lifted right now. And God is releasing resources from his storehouses to make sure that you are actually redeemed from there. Because salvation, restoration, healing, and peace is all in his hands. And you are being lifted out of it. I decree and declare you are being lifted in such a way you will never go back there again. The resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power operating right now with the anointing happening here. And I decree and declare the devil cannot stop it. Witchcraft cannot stop it. Sorcery cannot stop it. Divination cannot stop it. Any bad omen cannot stop it. Because you are now going to be blessed in a special way. The Jubilee blessing is here. And God is lifting you up from the mire and from that pit. Oh, Lord Jesus, I intercede like Abraham did. My God, in your presence, that now that action of this redeeming power be realized. I want you to receive the raising of the power of the hand of God from that pit right now. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it for your family. Receive it for your village. Receive it for your city, Nairobi. I am receiving it for Nairobi. I'm receiving it for Kenya. Only God can lift Kenya to the next level. Only God can lift Africa to the next level. Only the redeeming hand of God can lift us from the slave market to the market of the free. My God, I thank you by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. how your people, all of us, are being lifted to the next level. And therefore now, from this pit that we have come from, I decree a covering by soil and rocks. You will never go back there. It is completely covered. It is completely cemented. You will never go back there. You are now released with this resurrection power, and powers that pull you down have been canceled right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You will grow. Yes, you can give a hand to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You will grow from strength to strength. And the scripture of Isaiah 60 verse 1 shall be realized in you. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings will rise of your dawn. And with that hand also raised up, my Lord, and not only are we lifted from the pits, we are also commissioned. And this hand is a hand of saying, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. Empower me. Lord, equip me. Resource me, that I may become a man and a woman of influence. That I am the redeemed, and I shall lead others into redemption. God, as you bring plenty to us, we shall also help others get out of poverty. We shall use that which you give us, that we shall pass it on to others. And that hand is a hand of saying, Lord, release the resources needed for me to be useful, to have impact, to be powerful, to be influential, to make a difference. I decree, and we decree for each one of us, that we shall be fruitful. We shall increase. Our boundaries are now expanding. And we shall go north, south, east, and west. The devil shall not be able to stop it. And Father, therefore, thank you that the graves are now sealed. We are lifted from those pits. Now we are commissioned to go and serve with the blessings that are upon us. Now I speak a seal of the blood of Jesus over every one of us. This whole year, through the month of February, you are covered by the blood of Jesus. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. The enemy, like we said yesterday, anointing service, will come in one direction, but will be scattered in seven directions. We are taken care of. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so God will watch your going out, and God will watch your coming in throughout the month of February. Every one of us under this word today, you shall see the end of February, and you shall enter March, and you shall go on to the end of the year, because God has covenanted in the highest levels that that shall happen, and he is your security, and he watches over you, and he sends the angel of Psalm 91 verse 11, who watches over his people. For that reason, we can decree and declare, you shall be well. It is well with you. Don't be afraid. Somebody was afraid. How will this month be? Don't be afraid. God is with you. God will watch over you. God will provide. You shall break through. You shall go to the end of the month. And the devourer, the grasshopper, the cankerworm, the lion, the thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy shall not touch anything about you or anything about your children or anything about your generations that come from you. You are secured from every side. My God, we thank you. And therefore, we celebrate the liberty that is ours in your presence. The liberty that has come through the blood. And for that reason, we know peace, and we know joy, and we know celebration. We thank you. We finish this service strong with joy and gratitude in the name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. Let's give a mighty hand to our Lord. Kasina is here, and the team is here. We really want to bless the Lord. Remember again that you are blessed. Never forget that. Pastor Ambrose shared Deuteronomy 28, I think, verse 2, that the blessings of the Lord shall accompany us every day. And this applies to the whole year. Every day. Remember, you are blessed. Tell the devil, I'm blessed. Yes, I am blessed. I am blessed. And that blessing is actually a cover. And so you are blessed on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You are coming back with a testimony. Hallelujah. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. Shalom.